a year.
Happy birthday, babe.
Who can believe that Slimming World podcast is 1 year and 1 day old today?
I don't think we can believe it.
No, our first episode we released on the 29th of December 2018. And actually, that week we released 4 episodes in one go.
What did we think we were doing? Who did we think we were?
Yeah, it's incredible. We're so excited to celebrate our birthday. And if you're new and you're just finding us, maybe you're kind of in that post-Christmas slump, the bit in between Christmas and New Year, and you're thinking, oh God, I cannot eat another piece of turkey. I cannot eat another chocolate cake. I'm rejoining Slimming World right now. And you've searched and you found us. Then welcome to the crew.
Welcome to the crazy zone.
So we should probably introduce ourselves to those who are new, and a reminder of some of the people who've been listening for a while, because yes, we're not expecting you to go and listen to the entire back catalogue.
Are we not?
No.
I am. I've got great expectations of our new listeners. Oh. There's 53 podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, there is.
It's only that wouldn't be 53 hours, would it?
Is it 53?
Yeah.
Who's counting?
There's more than 53.
I think there's more than 53.
Yeah, because if we did 4, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, take 3 days of your life and you'd be done.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to know a little bit more about our in-depth story, then the very, very first 2 episodes we ever did, we called it Anna's Story and Claire's Story. But in a nutshell, I'm a Slimming World member. I've never worked for Slimming World as a consultant, but I've been a member on and off for the last, oh gosh, it's 8 years now. I yo-yoed, I lost weight, I put it back on, I lost it, and then I stepped away. And on my most recent journey, I have lost over 5 stone, and Anna happens to be my consultant.
You just stepped in my door and rest is history. Well, I'm a Slimming World consultant, so I'm the one who's meant to know what we're doing, allegedly. And this was just my 20th Slimming World Christmas, which is really interesting because I'm only 21. And I, like Claire, have had multiple journeys, in fact, during 24 times, lost a hell of a lot of weight and then regained it. It was really quite fab. But I lost my last big amount of weight with a broken back. And then on the back of that, decided that I wanted to help other people. And now I run 5 of my own groups and look after crazy people like Claire. And we came together through the love of free food, didn't we, babe?
Something like that. We had this crazy idea that we started the podcast in my kitchen. And now we've managed to move up in the world to basically keep podcasting in my car.
Yeah, in your car. And normally you put the seats on, the warming seats. But we haven't done that today. Like, it's not the standard I'm used to. It's really, really not. But yeah, we like to go and make podcasts in random destinations like wet park floors.
What else? We've done supermarket sweeps with a tenner each.
We've done personal shopping where we got new bras.
Oh, we've been to pubs as well and basically took apart the menu for food pub grub.
Oh my God, that was fun. You did some cooking when I was in hospital.
Yeah.
We've done random places. We like a coffee shop and a park bench.
Yep.
Anywhere that we're not going to get arrested for podcasting from, we try and do, don't we?
Yeah. So if you are following the Slimming World plan, then pop your headphones on, pop your shoes on and go for a walk and we kind of do a bit of bite-sized mojo. And we just got to remind you, look, we're not doctors, okay? These are our personal stories. And whilst the things that we talk about work for us, you've got to find your own way. And your first port of call is always your group consultant. We're just like a little extra group away from group. So make sure you subscribe, you rate and review us. So we have a new episode every Monday. And welcome to the journey of 2020 Slimming World Podcast.
And get in touch, because we love getting your messages. We are on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. Drop us a DM or email us at Slimming World Podcast. Oh, I always go at, don't I? I put too many ats in it. Slimming World Podcast @gmail.com.
Yeah, so both of us have got the lurgy today.
And I've got a knackered leg.
If we could get through this without me coughing and Anna snorting, this is going to be amazing, but I'm sure that you're probably in the same boat, so you might forgive us.
It's horrible, isn't it? The time of year you want to be really well and enjoy everything. You're just so full of snot. It's just not fun. So if you're feeling the same way, get cosy in your duvet and have a little listen to what we're about to tell you.
So the final listeners questions of 2019. This is basically your episode. Once a month we give you the opportunity to send us questions and really set the agenda. And so we have screenshotted a ton of your messages on Instagram and on email, and we're gonna roll through some of them and see what is on your mind.
I love listeners' questions because it actually makes me use my brain. People ask questions and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to have a real thought process about that and not just be talking about, you know, small children's nursery rhymes or cartoons, which I spend most of my life doing. So, who have we got?
Okay, Anne has sent a message. Hey, I don't normally do this, but I discovered you guys about 4 weeks ago, and I have to say I do look forward to my dog walking now with your podcasts. Nearly through all of them, which makes me sad, but she can't thank us enough.
Not sad, darling. Bright.
She's been in Slimming World nearly 3 years and nearly 6 stone down. Wow. But I feel so guilty it's taken me so long when you see other people's journeys. Listening to you guys has made me realise actually it's part of my journey. Mm. I'm currently so focused at the moment with having a pressure of a bridesmaid dress, which doesn't come in my size, so I feel my journey has slightly been taken out of my control and I have to do it rather than doing it my way. Do you have any advice on peer pressure? I wanted to ask you, do you regret not doing the clothes shopping throughout your journey? I'm constantly walking around in clothes too big, but people say, oh, don't buy anything yet. When does the yet come?
Oh,
good question. There's a lot that we can dig into there, Anne. I mean, first of all, 6 stone down and you're keeping it off over 3 years. Because how many of us have seen in group people who come in for 5 months, lose 6 stone, and then they disappear and they come back the following year with another, I don't know, 7 or 8 stone?
Sounds like you made some real habit changes there, Anne, like to keep that off. And just in answer to your peer, like they're being cross because, you know, people do a bit faster. I experience this a lot as a consultant. People like feeling like, oh my God, you know, someone's done it faster than me and I should be better at this. It's everybody's journey is different. And I think that not comparing to other people is really important because everyone has a different starting point. Everyone has a different relationship with food. And also what I've experienced is everyone has a different amount of time they've been trying to lose weight. Like I've been trying to lose weight or had been for so many years, 20 years is a long time. And then you meet people who've never tried to lose weight before. So I think it's just remembering we've all got different starting points and you've lost 6 stone. That's an 8-year-old. It's a lot of weight. And I think the thing about doing it at your own pace, whether you think it's slow or not, is the fact that you've carved out amazing habits that you're going to stick to. You've not done something that's a crash or that's a fad that's not going to keep your weight off. You've made new long-term changes.
Interesting that you say about, you know, having to do it someone else's way and not your way, and that you've got this bridesmaid dress that you're working towards. And I find it really interesting that, you know, my weight loss journey this time has been about me making these changes for me.
Yeah.
And we were talking in group actually earlier where there's someone who's working towards her wedding. And, you know, I'd said to her, well, like, if you took the wedding out of this and actually you said to yourself, I'm losing this weight for me.
Yeah, it's a different like, scenario, isn't it?
It there's a lot more pressure under that. So sometimes some people find actually having a deadline really helps them.
Yeah.
But it's total swings and roundabouts. I think it's harder when you don't have a specific deadline and you are doing it for you, particularly when you've got used to beating yourself up and not liking yourself. You're like, well, I don't like me, so why do I want to do something nice for me? You have to work through that before you can then sometimes unpick the food.
Whereas I'm the other way round. I had the pressure to get my BMI down for a certain date to have surgery. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't do it. Rebelled. And I think that pressure, like Anne's saying, of someone else saying you've got to be a certain way, you almost get a little bit like cross and rebellious.
Yeah.
So my advice to you might be to think about, forget the dress. Think about how you want to feel on that day rather than about losing weight to get in that dress. You want to feel spectacular on that day. You want to look gorgeous and the dress is part of that. But if you can take the psychological pressure off that dress, that number, it might free you up to be able to do it rather than feel like, do you know what, my mate's making me do it. Because that would make you a bit angry. I had 7 adult bridesmaids and maybe 5 little ones, you know?
What?
Yeah. You know when you're like, I can't pick, so I've got to have them all. But my bridesmaids ranged from a size 4 right up to, I had my sister was 7 months pregnant and then about size 20, and I was like, how am I going to do this and make them all feel great? So I gave them options and I just told them the colour scheme, and I tried to really make them feel included in it, because no one wants a pale pink meringue, do you know what I mean, if you're not feeling good about yourself. So maybe it's worth being honest with the person who you're being bridesmaid for as well about how it's making you feel.
To be honest, part of me would just be like, F off.
Part of me would be...
That's just being honest, Anne. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's not an option for you. It's far too political. But sometimes I just think, oh, come on.
Well, I just remember, you know, one of my bridesmaids saying, Anna, like, I don't feel comfortable in this dress. So we changed the dress to suit everyone else. And I also said to them, do your hair how you want, have the shoes that you want, do the accessories you want. Because my friends are also individual. I didn't want them all looking the same on my wedding day, because that wouldn't have been them. It would have been a pressed version of me. But that's just my opinion. I've really learned through my weight loss journey that sometimes we're too polite and sometimes we don't say what we need to say because we're scared of hurting other people. But that's at the cost of our emotions.
Yeah.
But don't tell her to F off.
No, maybe not. There's probably far more adult ways of going about that. The other thing is, you want to ask... Do we regret not doing the clothes shopping throughout our journey?
Well, I clothes shop the whole way through my journey because I have an issue with clothes shopping. I love it.
Yeah. So, no. Talk to her about pyjamas.
Yeah, no, I've got... Oh, I just got 2 new pairs.
So you're 27?
Yeah. No, but no, I culled some others. I culled some, so I think I got...
You need a one out, one in.
No!
Policy.
No!
Nobody needs 25 pairs of pyjamas.
Yeah. Well, like I said in the other episode, different... Things need different pyjamas. They're on my list for my birthday.
I don't have enough clothes, if I'm honest.
Should I give you some pyjamas?
And I have starved myself of clothes shopping because I did exactly what you're saying here. I don't want to buy anything yet. And I have I'll buy my new clothes when I'm at Target.
Yeah.
And I've dangled that carrot in front of myself to the point where I was like, oh my God, I was wearing these jeans.
My
knickers don't fit. I was just like wearing these jeans the other day and I was like, these have just got to go in the bin. Mm. I mean, they're tatty and they're way too big. And I'm like, I just need to let go of the old me. But it's not just the clothes, it's not just the diet. We've talked often on this podcast about your head, catching up with your head.
And for me, like, celebrating every day, being at your very best every day and feeling your best. You don't feel good when you're in an outfit that fitted you 4.5 stone ago when you're unhappiest. Mm. Get in the slinky jeans or whatever you want, you know. Feel good about yourself. So I'd hit the shops, babe.
Yeah. You know, in our group today, Anna recapped the YMCA.
Oh, I loved that one.
And we made it an episode, actually. So if you are kind of at that point where maybe you're rejoining or you're restarting or... you've been doing this a while and you just need to really kind of revisit what are your reasons, what's motivating you behind this weight loss. And one of the things that came up on mine was I want to wear clothes that match my personality a bit more.
Yes.
Because I got used to just wearing stretchy black leggings and everything became black and colourless.
What were you wearing today? Stretchy black leggings.
These are my way leggings.
How were they?
Yeah, no pants, black leggings.
Wow. Sharing with the world.
Yeah, in a car park.
One of my members just pulled up next to us. You didn't see. I was like, hi.
Oh, really? Oh, you've been caught out. Anyway, I kind of thought I want to wear clothes that match my personality. I am a bright, vibrant, colourful, outgoing kind of individual.
I am blue today. Leopard print and yellow.
I've started making an effort.
Yeah. Yes, but I think you feel better.
Because I want to reflect... Now I like a bit more what's inside me. I want to get that out.
Yeah. Good call. And be proud. Be proud. Yeah. Be happy. 3 years, 3 minutes, 3 months, you've done it. You've got 6 stone off. Amazing.
Mm. And keeping off.
Yeah.
So Hayley has sent us a message saying she's not in a great place weight loss wise at the moment. Yet again, stopped going to group and begun regaining the weight that she's lost. I always think my first sign is I go to weigh, but I don't stay to group.
Yes, I see.
Then I don't go to weigh or group at all. And then I convince myself, I'll go back next week and then I don't. And then before I know it, it's a month or 6 weeks and I've just given up.
You've not done that in this journey?
No, this time I made a choice to, wherever I work in the UK, I have been going to different groups all over the country.
Makes such a difference.
Group is staying to group is what made me really commit. I made that accountability to myself.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, you know when you're struggling because those things happen. And the only way you're going to break this habit is by facing it head on and going. Mm. And making a commitment to yourself that you are going to go every single week, no matter what the scales say.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the scales. It's about the emotional change. It's about the habit change. And let your group help you. Because your group will be your anchor. Your group will be that, oh my God, that cheerleading support system that you need. And your group understand you in a way that maybe a lot of your friends and your family don't. I think the thing that I notice being a consultant is the things that people speak about in group may never speak about that outside of group. And actually trust them. Let them help you. Be honest with how you're feeling. And then you'll set yourself free from it. And know you're not alone. And especially this time of year, I am so proud of my members who got to group this Christmas, New Year week, because it's really scary, isn't it? Facing that scale when it goes up.
You know you're going to be gaining.
But there's that camaraderie and the fact that you're all doing it together.
Yeah, that's true. So Hayley basically says, I really want to stop this yo-yo dieting, but I can't seem to maintain my focus in this and in other areas of my life. So many times I've committed my mind to Slimming World, promises about parenting, an exercise plan, cleaning routine, self-care routine, sober spring, veganuary. How do you say that?
Veganuary? Veganuary? Veganuary. No, that's another podcast.
And between 3 days or 3 months, I can't maintain the commitment. I become overwhelmed. I've been thinking of starting journaling to try and help manage all these important areas of my life realistically. I would be really interested to hear your thoughts on everything about your journaling, Claire, and Anna's amazing ideas too on how this could help. Thanks so much, Hayley.
Do you want to go or shall I go?
Well, look, I've got my new journal in front of me here.
We've
got a new one from my mate Tony, which is like a little travel. It's got to travel is to live. And look, feel it. Have a little feel. Doesn't it feel posh?
Really posh.
Yeah.
Can I just say something before we start? The thing that just struck me there, my darling.
What's that?
What's this lady called? Kelly?
Hayley.
Hayley, darling. You're trying to be everything to everyone and perfect. Mm. And I found this as a new mum, as a wife, as a friend, as a slimmer. I was trying to be bang on everything. I could barely brush my teeth and brush my hair and keep Daisy's bum clean. And I think what I was doing was putting too much pressure on myself and actually having ridiculous expectations and trying to achieve too much. So that's why you burn out.
Mm.
Because actually you can't be that perfect in every... You can't have a clean house, be the best parent, be the slimmest person and amazing at your job 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
Mm.
That's not human. So I think maybe allowing yourself the freedom not to be perfect might feel a little bit better.
Yeah. A squirrel just ran in front of us with a bit of fast food sandwich in his mouth.
Love it. Do you know what I mean about that?
I do. And actually, I have to say, the reason that I found success in a couple of things in the last 2 years have been because I narrowed my focus.
Yes.
So I narrowed my focus on two things, two main goals. Overall was health.
Yeah.
But number one was my weight loss. And that was about learning to have a new relationship with food. It wasn't about fitness. It was about cooking. It was about educating myself about what is calcium, what's protein, what's fibre. And really throwing myself into that. And then the second was staying alcohol-free.
Amazing what you've done.
It's just, I just wanted to kind of step away from that. And a big part of that was helping my mental health.
Yeah.
And by sticking to those two things over the last 2 years... I really feel like I'm on top of those. And now I'm at the point where for 2020, I'm looking to kind of take that next step. I've been kind of on and off trying different things fitness-wise in 2019, which is what I originally said in our first or second episode. And this year I've kind of set some bigger goals for me to kind of go forwards
Amazing
for.
Amazing things you're going to do.
But now I feel I'm at the point where I've kept my commitment of going to group.
Yeah.
I've kept my commitment of continuously losing weight, albeit quite slow, just like Anne said. I often beat myself up and look at new members coming in and thinking, God, they're nailing it. And I'm just
like
trucking along. But I'm keeping it off. And this is different to exactly what Hayley said about this yo-yoing. I did that for years, Hayley. So many years. And I've beat myself up for so many years. So maybe just look at, well, what is the one most important thing that I can do right now. And actually, for me, one of my goals continuously will be, forever, will be to work on food. I will never be cured or fixed of whatever this is within me that wants me to just go rah, and just eat like a crazy person. I will have to work on this for the rest of my life. And accepting that that is something I will continuously have to work on, it will always be a goal for me.
But
and
take
okay
the pressure
with that.
Off. Yeah, I think the moment you go, this is how I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to behave like this for the rest of my life, it's okay. Because I think it's when we're waiting for it to end, that's when we do the yo-yoing. The moment I just went, okay, cool. Like, nothing's off limits with food optimizing, and that's the most amazing thing. And I think sometimes when you look at it as a diet, that's when it becomes so hard, doesn't it? So, you know, I would always almost talk about the support system in your group and getting that help and getting that support. And I think what Claire, I've seen with Claire and her journaling, so you arrived at group today, you were a little bit maybe stressed, a little bit, your head was chaotic. Mm. You've gone away, spent, what, a couple of hours doing your writing, your journaling, and you're like a much calmer person, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, I need to get whatever's in my head out.
Yeah.
And I don't kind of have a diary that's every day I need to write in it. I just have lined paper. I put the date on the top.
Does it have to be a nice book?
I like a nice book.
I love a nice book.
And I just date it, and sometimes I draw. Oh. Sometimes I do bullet points. Sometimes I will write a little mini dear diary pouring out my heart with tears all over the page.
Wow.
And it's only for me. Nobody's going to see this. But what I really find interesting about this, Hayley, is be honest, and you know that you're the only person that reads this. And I actually last week dug out my diaries from 2.5 years ago.
Wow, and that was hard.
It was horrible to read it. I just wanted to give that little girl a hug.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did it, because I was able to really
see how far you come.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I just really at times just felt like I was staring into quite black darkness.
Oh.
And I just felt I could see these cycles that I was trapped in, repeated. And I kept saying, I want to find a way out of coming to this cliff edge, but I don't know how. And you know, and I want to find a new way of processing pain, but I'm afraid. And if I look at what I've done over the last 2 years,
look how you've changed your life.
Huge, man. But I'm so glad that I captured those horrible dark moments, because I will always have that as a barometer. And on the days or the weeks where you start to feel like you're slipping back into old habits,
you can go back,
pull that out, read it, and think, do I want to, this is where I end up.
Yeah.
Do I want that?
So what do you journal? Do you write about how you're feeling? Do you write about what you want to achieve? What's your thing?
I do a bit of everything.
Oh, do you?
I mean, in this journal, it ends up being a bit of work, a bit of personal. I dream.
But you do this thing. You write the thing at the start.
Yeah,
this.
I mean, I did a lot of work and thinking about what my values are.
I love that.
You know, so that when I kind of look at the people I hang around with, when the jobs that I do. And
are you looking at me when you're thinking about that? Oh, sugar.
Yeah. But, you know, I kind of have like a moon and a star goal of what am I aiming for overall, and, you know, like the big picture stuff. And then maybe some kind of smaller stuff nearby.
Right, so you can break it down.
Yeah. And it just kind of keeps me centred, because I am someone that no week is the same for me.
No.
I don't have any routine. I don't have a job where I go and sit in the same desk in an office Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So it's quite easy for me to feel unanchored.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So
that.
I've had to set up, there's loads of stuff about like morning routines. Like there's a guy called Hal Elrod who's written a book called Miracle Mornings. And he's all about the first hour of your day, you know, starting your day on purpose. So
they say making your bed is one of the biggest things you can do in the morning.
Or just, you know, keeping your phone in the other room, because quite often we roll over and we grab our phone and we're scrolling through Facebook or the news, and how our day starts is basically being dictated to us by other people.
So
but actually, if you push that away, a big thing for me and was being successful in my weight loss is have breakfast.
Mm.
So before I do the scrolly, actually have some breakfast and have some water.
Yeah.
And I know if I nail my breakfast, I will nail my weight loss.
So true.
And I learned that from the SAS log.
Oh, yeah, having breakfast is the key. We were just talking about this in one of the sessions, actually, because when you don't have breakfast, you open the gateway to hell, I was thinking. Do you know what I mean? Because you're going to go and snack and eat rubbish, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that helps you, sweetheart.
Oh, so then we have Laura, who sent a message. She's had a real Tough couple of weeks.
Oh, see where that came from.
She said she feels that we're real and so relatable.
Oh, bless you. If you could see us now.
We'd get the germs too.
We actually don't look bad today. Because I've come straight from group, I'm not in tracksuit bottoms.
I looked at the photos of me on Christmas Day holding up my knee. So my brother took some photos with a nice camera. I just look like a pale person with makeup that is three shades too dark.
Oh, bless you.
You know, you just look ill.
Yes,
haggard.
Yes, that's how I feel today.
Okay, so 10 weeks into Slimmer World Journey, lost 2 stone.
Oh, amazing.
Been Slimmer of the Week 4 times. Woo-hoo. And Slimmer of the Month once.
Wow.
2 weeks ago, I had my first gain of 1.5 pounds, and last week I maintained. I feel like my friend telling me she's eaten crap in previous weeks and still lost, yet I'd behave and food optimised perfectly all week and my loss wouldn't be as great. And because of that, the last 2 weeks, I haven't been on plan every day and I'm really struggling to get back into it.
Oh, chicken.
So this was a couple of weeks ago, so I'm hoping, Laura, that maybe you'll have kind of come through the other side. But I do remember that when you rejoin, and there'll be so many people listening to this right now who will have rejoined, right? And that's totally cool, and you may go onto that mega losing streak in January, and then maybe you hit end of Jan or Feb, and then you have a maintain or a gain, like the jelly's gone, you get to the concrete, or
right.
Do you know what I mean? And then yeah. And then how do you handle that? This time around, it took me 12 weeks until I had a gain.
So hard,
I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and I knew it was going to come. And it never gets easier. Never.
See, it's... So, the place I come from, and this is maybe a bit hard to hear, right? I think we all have to be super honest with ourselves. The reason we gain weight or maintain our weight is that we haven't created enough of a deficit. Okay, so it goes back to the premise, and I had to be really honest with myself as a slimmer and as a consultant, that actually I had never truly food optimized. I'd never done it 100%, right? And I could lose weight not doing it 100%.
Yeah,
but I couldn't lose weight consistently not doing it 100%. So what I had to really find out was, using SAS logs and a food diary, was where was I not doing it 100% and how could that impact me? So it could be something as teeny, for example, as thinking something's a healthy extra when it's not, undersinning something, if you're maintaining, not getting enough speed food. So I think what I always try and do is do what Margaret always comes back to. Don't get angry, get fascinated. What do I need to do to make sure I can lose weight consistently? And also recognise that a gain is absolutely blinking fine.
It's only 1.5 pounds.
And it's nothing. And a gain makes you a better target member. Well, a gain makes you a better slimmer because without the gains, you A, don't realise how much you want it. You B, don't understand if you're not doing it 100%. And while I'm not saying that of you, my darling, I'm just saying I always try and be a detective. And is there something I need to switch up? Is there something I'm not quite nailing? Speak to your consultant and your group about it. But don't compare yourself to your friend that's eating KFC and all of that and fried food. And because actually, you don't know what she's eating the rest of the time that could have made her not lose weight or gain. Do you know what I mean? It's so hard when you go with a friend and you compare yourself, don't you? But I'd almost get investigating your journey. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yep. and actually, the next message here, I don't have your name, rock and roll mother.
I love that.
Just back from holidays, but petrified about how much she'll have gained. How do you get back on it after a holiday? And I suppose there's also the sense that how do you get back on it after Christmas, after New Year? You know, it's so easy, like in December, it gets so busy. And then there's all that stuff. And then there's the leftovers. And then you go in the office and everyone else is bringing their leftovers.
And then you're like, well, it's Christmas. I might as well do it.
And I'm also like the type of person where if it's there, I feel like I have
seafood,
to eat it.
Yeah.
Seafood diet. Yes. Yeah.
My biggest advice, and the one I just gave all my Greek, was if you faced a gain, don't feel bad about it. Don't upset yourself about it. Don't think all is lost. Go and enjoy your most favourite food optimised meal. Do you know when I get back from holiday, I've always got stuff for burger and chips with Slimming World coleslaw, because it's my favourite thing. And I know if that's in, I'm going to be really energised by food optimising rather than thinking, oh God, I've got to get back on boiled cabbage and ham. Like, it's not, it's when you go from the high decadence to the deprivation is when this gets hard. Mm. So just thinking about something you'd love to enjoy, thinking about those feelings of eating well and what they give you, and just don't upset yourself about the gain. Mm. Because it's done. Always learn from it. You know, this year is the lowest weight gain my Slimming World members have ever had in the 9 years I've been a Slimming World consultant.
Wow.
And I really hope that's because I've helped them with some skills to navigate round the mindless eating, to navigate round the trigger eating, and maybe to say, do you know what, I did want a mince pie and I did want some bread sauce and I did want X, Y, and Z, but I haven't got mental. So I think it's just about giving yourself the freedom and forgiveness. Again, it's okay.
Yeah, see, Helen also sent a similar message in, like, you know, this idea of getting our ass back on track when you've been having a crappy time and been eating rubbish for a few weeks. You know, and it's quite easy just to kind of throw it all out the window and carry on eating rubbish and then just do that, oh, I'll start it again in January.
Don't start again, just carry on. I'm never, ever off plan. And I'm not saying that as a, being a virtuous person, but when people say on plan, off plan, I'm not. I just sometimes may have more sins. And I know that psychologically telling myself that I'm off a plan and on a plan is so damaging. Actually recognising why you're doing these things with food, because what I've learned is high sugar and high fat does not aid happiness, does not make me feel physically or mentally good. Does it you? It's nice to have a little bit of something, but I think we see this treat mentality, don't we?
Well, I think the words that you said a few weeks ago were, no amount of food or alcohol is going to make you feel better.
No, it's not. It can't, but we're still in that zone where that's what we do. And then we feel so bad about it, we just carry on eating and go, I'll start again. It's the starting again that's the issue. Do you know what? I'm just going to make my next meal a really beautifully balanced, food optimised one. Then there's no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We put ourselves under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So, don't have your name, but you're MFP.
Oh.
MFB.
painful.
Found us on Spotify, so welcome. Just signing up to Slimming World Group, and did it in the beginning of December, which is
fabulous.
Basically no better time than the present, is what they say. Got 4 stone to shift. What advice would we give?
Submerge yourself in it. Embrace it. Get every recipe, get every bit of support from your group. Use your group as your absolute dictionary, as your absolute fountain of knowledge. Literally lap it up and just enjoy what you're eating. Enjoy it.
Mm.
Food, eat. Free food is your friend.
Free food is your friend. She said it right. My God.
It was my catchphrase and I didn't even know it was my catchphrase.
Yeah, exactly. We need a t-shirt.
Oh my God, yeah. Someone send us a t-shirt. Free food is my friend.
The thing is, outside Slimming World, people must think we're mad. Free,
inside
free food. They don't understand what it means. You know what I mean?
I think.
What do you mean speed food? Is that like fast food?
Or the drug? Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone said earlier, I just need to get back on the speed. I just need to get back on the speed. And I thought, I'm so glad that you don't have to quantify this to anybody.
Yeah, that's when you know you're part of the cult.
You do, yeah, exactly.
You know all these terms.
Yeah.
Hi to Davey as well, who's dropped us a couple of messages. Davey is someone we're not going to kind of like go into in depth with his story because it's personal. But it's someone that really touched our heart because one of the things that he's really tapped into is this idea about understanding emotional eating and how sometimes like life and grief and bereavement and stuff that can really, really impact people and their decision. And we just wanted to say, hey, Davey, and know that you're not alone because you got in touch after Anna was talking about her dad. And I think that you're not alone, really, in your journey. And there'll be many people listening to this, Davey, who probably, especially over Christmas. It's Christmas tough. Is a time when you miss people and then you overeat and then you feel guilty. So let's all draw the line. Forgive ourselves a bit, give ourselves a break, and just keep going.
Yeah. Well said, Clarilla.
Okay. So Hell's dropped a message. Just looking at the way group works. You know, like when people go around and discuss, have you got on this week? And the idea that sometimes people pick out when there's a gain.
Yeah.
And how what kind of options does a member have with their consultant if they have a gain? Like, could they say to the consultant, I don't want you to mention it? Because it can be quite personal and, you know, often it's quite open, isn't it? And I guess the standard procedure is a consultant will say...
No, so the procedure would be, if you ever feel like you don't want it discussed, and I say it at my new member talk, and most consultants will say the same, just grab me and let me know. And I don't want you to mention how much I've gained, or I don't want you to talk about the gain. Let us know. The thing about being a consultant is, unless you get into image therapy and you're greeted with a member and you don't know how they've done until you pull up their weight data on your tablet and you don't know if actually I've put £2 on and that's okay, I've put £2 on and I'm absolutely devastated, or where you're at. So talk to us. If you want to grab us before image therapy and say, Anna, I'm feeling a bit sad, please don't mention this. Mm. Please know that's okay. But also know there's no shame in it.
I find that really interesting. Now, the thing that I've got out of doing this podcast as a member, hearing what you're saying, is actually maybe as a member I don't use my consultant enough.
Yeah.
I just kind of sit there, turn up, and then go.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm a quite low maintenance member.
You are a very low maintenance member.
Yeah, I don't really message you at 3 a.m. or anything.
Well, you do, but not about being a member.
But, you know, I think actually, I guess that's what you're there for, really.
Talk to us. Mm. The thing if I ever knew a member was sad, upset, or struggling, or feeling anything that I said in image therapy was compounding that, I would be mortified. So talk to me. You know, give your consultant a ring or a text, or grab them before image therapy, because that's what we're there to do. We're there to help and support and motivate you. And please know the place we come from as a consultant is we talk about it, because there's nothing to be worried about. But if we discuss the gains, then we help you make a plan for weight loss. And I think that's what we're trying to do. But, you know, I remember coming back from honeymoon and gaining 11.5 pounds and thinking, gosh, should I tell my consultant not to mention it in group? And then I thought, you know what? Anna, be bold. Like, you've gained 11.5 pounds. Like, you deserve that gain for what you went and ate. But own it and don't be sad about it, because no one's judging you. No one's sat there going, oh, Anna, she gained 11.5 pounds. Do you know what I mean? I think what I got from it was...
We're all in our own heads.
Yeah, but also, it gave someone else in my group the courage to be like, oh, okay, I put 0.5 pound on and I was feeling absolutely desolate. She had the courage to say she put an 11.5. So, yeah, please don't ever fear it. And I think it's, again, if you weren't expecting it, it's about us letting you know that. And that will be we will let you know that in the new member talk and everything. But, yeah, talk to your consultant, my darling.
Mm. I've got a mate who I've been doing Slim World with for a while. We had like a crazy conversation the other day where she was someone who, again, would absolutely crucify her. She'd be in tears, she couldn't stay to group, she would just sob, and it was so painful to watch, really, because she was doing so well, but just seeing the numbers go up just ruled her head.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation the other day where she was like, I kind of get now the long game. And actually, sometimes that it's all right to kind of go up, because overall, I'm down.
Yeah.
And actually, it's normal. And I was like, whoa, that's
massive.
Mega.
Yeah. But I think it's, what are you scared of? Are you scared of someone judging you? Are you scared of that you failed? Are you scared you're going to be laughed at? Because I can guarantee, if I put this into a context, I've just run a session where not one person lost weight. Right? I mean, that's a Slim World consultant, not something that you get into it for, but that's Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Do you know what I mean?
Clarify that.
But what I'm trying to say, yeah.
You sound like the worst consultant ever.
People do lose weight in my group, I promise. But there was no shame in that room. You were in the session.
Yeah.
Everyone was quite in good spirit, weren't they? So I think just don't beat yourself up about it, my darling. Please don't. It's part of the game.
Comparisonitis. That's really hard to say when you've got...
Is that even a word?
Well, it is now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't know your name. Diet Princess.
Oh,
that sounds like a
good
name, doesn't it?
I love that name.
Okay, we have changed her way of thinking on most things.
Ooh.
We'll look into my eyes. 1, 2, 3.
Bold.
What are the national lottery numbers? Yes. A PIN number, card number?
Yeah.
Anyway, can you discuss how to cope with comparison? I hate doing it. I try not to, but I always compare myself to others. My journey to others, and I know it's mentally damaging as it does and can make me feel down. I know everyone is different and no one has the same journey, but I just cannot help myself. I've actually unfollowed a lot of Instagram hashtags and people, as thought doing a media cleanse would help.
Nice.
And it did, but just wondered if anyone else felt this way.
Social media.
Yeah. Well, we actually did an episode, social media, what do we call it? Social media, good or bad, something like that. And we asked for a ton of listeners' opinions.
Yes. That was when we were on the floor in the park and it was wet.
So, yeah, we were talking about that and we kind of weighed up the pros and cons of that. Yeah, I mean, Instagram is kind of where most people are when it comes to slimming world stuff and weight loss.
Mm.
And a lot of Instagram is obviously based around photos, either photos of food or before and after. And I really get peeved off about before and after photos because they don't show
the
bit in the middle where
you
do gain and you do struggle.
Yeah.
And so you only really ever get to see the worst bit and the best bit. You don't get to see the reality, and that annoys me.
Well, that's what I think the whole point of social media, well, not the point, but a whole place that we're at with a lot of social media, is it's totally creating the vibe you want. Like, do you ever see people show you their dinner that looks like they've just dropped it on the floor? Do you ever see people with their greasy hair showing you that they've lost 4 stone? You see the beautiful, perfect version, and actually, in reality, they're sat in a 2 up, 2 down with no money in their purse. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's that false sense. And I got contacted by about 8 people in the last 2 weeks about my Instagram stories, because I'm always on there chatting absolute rubbish with greasy hair and all of that. And all these people said, thank you for being real. Because actually, what you want to see is reality, not perfection, because then that makes you feel bad about your own life, doesn't it?
Mm.
And actually, do you know what, sweetheart? I would say, I used to do this. I compared myself to other people because I didn't feel my own achievement was worthy enough. So actually, it was about working on myself and being proud of who I was rather than comparing to, I don't know, whoever on Instagram and feeling bad that I wasn't as thin as them or as had the best handbag like them. So I think maybe it's sometimes about looking at how you feel about yourself. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like I said in an episode once about, I had it with social media when I became a mum, like, oh my God, the biggest pressure. You've got to keep this thing alive, right? But then you're meant to have the perkiest boobs. You're meant to be like running around. You're meant to feel sexy and amazing and feed them organic. And do you know what I mean? They're meant to sleep through the night. My kids never slept through the night in their life. And I just remember feeling like the biggest mum failure. So I just came away from everything on social media with to do with babies and everything. Didn't go to baby groups because it made me feel awful. Mm. So if something's damaging you or making you feel sad or upset, just totally come away from it.
The key thing when you move forwards in life, about look at who's in your inner circle.
Mm.
The 5 people that you spend most time with are the people who are really influencing what you think and feel.
Ooh.
So are the 5 people closest to you actually supporting you right now? And if they're not, is there someone else you can bring in the inner circle? You know?
I like the inner circle.
The
Do
inner
my dogs
circle.
Count?
Well, I mean,
I breastfeed them. I mean, do they count?
No, I don't. What the hell?
Do you talk about being honest? No, I don't. But anybody who's a dog mum out there will know about the dog love, right? You're not a dog person, are you?
I'm just horrified by what you just said.
Oh, no. I should probably maybe give you some background.
Please.
Before I had a child, a human child, I had dog children, and my family used to take the mick about how much I loved these dogs. Like, I would take them everywhere, I'd do everything, and they used to say, you do everything but breastfeed them. Because I would like carry them, I had bags for them, I had literally everything. Shall I move on? I don't breastfeed my dogs.
The things that I discover about you are terrifying.
Are they? In an exciting way? Or in a way like you're going to like want to get me out of the car? Oh my God, you can't see how she's looking. She's judging me. She's judging me, people.
Right, it's the final question.
Okay.
Thank God.
I was going to swear then.
Good, thanks. Thanks for holding back. Should we say we're real? Okay, Nicholas dropped us a message. Loves our energy and support and honesty.
Aww.
Thank you. So, really awesome way of thinking about this, okay?
Does she breastfeed her dogs too?
No, mate. Pipe down. So she listened to the Sins episode that we did. And this is her struggle. And she's been thinking of a different way that perhaps she can use her sins and wondered what we thought. So her idea was, think of sin as a money value.
Yes.
Look at what I haven't factored in or non-planned treats, such as a cake in a cafe or a special festive drink. So if it's 26 sins, that would become £26.
Yes,
would I spend, in real life, £26 on a slice of cake? Would I spend £2.50 on a chocolate from the from a tub if sold separately in a shop? And I think, no, far too much money and not worth it. So she used to use her sins as a standalone treat, but training herself to see that treats have gotten her to where she is today, and therefore they are not a treat. Also listened to a chocolate podcast and heard you were talking about making it an event.
Yes.
That's the way forward from now on, to make it an event, to enjoy it at the right time, not alone, and rather than tricking herself into thinking no one will know about this and sort of secret eating. Ooh. So kind of changing the mentality about that.
I've got a member who treats her sins in exactly the same way.
Really? I've never heard of that.
I was talking about this about 2 weeks ago in group. Like, would you spend £15 on half a bottle of Prosecco? Is a well-known burger worth £24.50? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think certain things are worth certain amounts of money. Like, actually, a tray of sushi is a really good spend at £1.50. But actually, a can of non-diet drink at £7, oh, hell no, I'm getting some water. It changes it. It depends how money motivated you are. Like, if you're money savvy and you really think about it, if you're a bit like one of those people like I used to be, like, oh, just shove it on the card, it won't strike a chord with you.
No, if you're absolute stinge.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh no, a hot chocolate is £2. No, I'm having a cup of tea. Green tea.
Hot chocolate for £2 is quite cheap.
Yeah. That's one of those well-known sachets with water.
Yeah, we've dropped mentioning brands.
Yeah.
And now we just sound like absolute weirdos.
Yeah. And it's so hard not to mention a brand. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. But I love your thought process with it, because what you're really thinking about is the value that that's going to give you. And actually, you found a way that it's not that important. Clever lady.
Yeah, so we approve, Nicola.
Woohoo!
You get a little star from us.
Yeah, a little
tick. No certificate or sticky, shiny sticker.
Yeah.
Sticky, shiny sticker. Oh, God.
You need to rest up.
That's why this podcast is ending.
Good night. Farewell.
So we hope you have a great new year.
Oh, happy Hanukkah.
And welcome in 2020. Maybe now's the time that you want to reset. You want to think about what you're looking forward to, the goals, the things that you want to work on. Or is it just kind of a time to reflect and enjoy a bit of a break and take your foot off the pedal and then regroup in January? We're going to be here every Monday, as per usual.
Unless I get arrested for breastfeeding the dogs.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully that won't happen. How do you respond to that in a professional way? Please help.
Professionalism went
Please
out
the send window. Advice of how to handle Anna's weirdness. We are slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, @slimmingworldpodcast. So you send us your thoughts, your questions, any time of the month, and then we stockpile them ready for our recording for our listeners' questions episode. So yeah, next week we're talking about the power of group. Make sure you subscribe so that you get these podcasts as the moment that they come out. They come out about 1 a.m. on Monday morning if you live in the UK. Have a great week. See you later.
Bye.